Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side to Side Sportscast, where it's your boys, Will and Woody, and you already know we come to break it on down from the court side, the ring side, the sidelines, and for those sports they play outdoors, we outside, we side to side, that's how we ride. And today we riding with the court side to start. Let's talk about those NBA Finals. Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors, who are your 2021-2022 NBA champions. You know, four titles in 8 years. They're officially a dynasty. You got to give them credit because they won one before KD, and now they won one after KD. But this one is probably the one that they feel best about because after being on top, they fell down. They had some bad years. They were decimated by injuries. They got it all back together this year, and they went out there and they won it. And they won it against a young team that caught stride as soon as the calendar turned to 2022. They were the hottest team in the league. We're talking about the Boston Celtics, led by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Smart. It was a great series. A lot of people had Boston picked to win. A lot of people had Golden State picked to win. It was really one of those toss-ups, but Golden State prevailed in six games. So these two teams are going to be around. Woody, I have to ask you, who do you think is most likely to return to the NBA Finals?
Well, I will certainly answer that question because that is my job. But before I answer that question, I got two things I want to say to the things that you said. One is that basketball power index that ESPN's been hyping up that said that the Celtics had an 86% chance to win.
Right.
They need to throw that in the trash.
Trash. Roll it up. Kobe.
Yeah, I don't even know where they got that number, how they arrived to that conclusion. But yeah, that was horrible. They should be embarrassed, right, for putting that out there. And then this certainly has to be the one that means the most, that is the sweetest for the Warriors, like you said, being down the dumps. They haven't even made the playoffs. You know, you can argue whether it's since KD or since Clay, right? It's just all catastrophic loss. And it's just so crazy how narratives can just be created out of thin air and then the masses just believe it, right? Because one person said it and, you know, retweeted, reshared, and now people believe it. So to have that happen, and the Warriors, it's not even like they came out of nowhere. They've been playing well all year. And yet when the playoffs started, you know, they still were getting overlooked, you know, by the Suns, who rightfully so. The Suns had a great year, right? And then, you know, we picked the Grizz. Like, you know, there still wasn't that respect, you know, for the dynasty that is the Golden State Warriors. To ask me, you know, who will return? The Celtics are young. Right, Jaylen Brown in the NBA. I'm not sure if I can find somebody who has improved literally every single year that they've been in the league like Jaylen Brown has. I feel like we're gonna see a better version of him next year. You know, Jason Tatum, you know, posting Kobe every 9 minutes and just texting Kobe. You know, running up Vanessa's bills and all this stuff that Jason Tatum is doing for no reason. He didn't show up. I would hope that he is playing better. And Marcus Smart, he's a dog. We all know he's going to just, you know, reload, recharge, and he'll be back better. So that would actually lead you guys to believe that I'm picking the Celtics, but I'm actually going to pick the Warriors. Okay, I feel like we have quite a few examples now of young teams that make it, you know, to the finals. They weren't necessarily favorites, but they make it and lose, and then we don't see them. Like, they still compete, right? Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know. They made it, right? They had some young stars.
Words on my mouth.
you know, we knew that Russ was going to get better, KD was going to get better, Harden was going to get better, and they did, but it just obviously didn't work out in OKC. They all got better in different places. So I don't think, you know, the Celtics, I wouldn't expect them to be back. In the East, I think a lot of teams in the East are going to reload. If Donovan Mitchell ends up on any Eastern Conference team that was in the top six last year, they are the team to beat. So the Warriors now, Poole's getting better. If Draymond is Draymond, like if this final Draymond is Draymond this next year, that's honestly fine as long as Wiseman is healthy. You know, they got guys, right? They got, you know, Kuminga. They got people in the back that are going to step up. Kuminga is getting better. Poole is getting better. Steve Kerr is developing these young guys. He has truly picked up where Mark Jackson has left off, okay? And we don't know, you know, is Steph going to decline 34, 35? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Klay, I would actually expect Klay to be better than he was in the playoffs now that he's back in the swing of things. I think the Warriors are going to be scary. Andrew Wiggins, if I'm Steve Kerr, the only thing I'm telling Andrew Wiggins is congratulations, shoot as many jump shots from three-point range as you can. Please. If Andrew Wiggins develops a consistent shot, you know, like a 37, 36%, like not nothing crazy, right? You don't have to lead the league. 37% from three, the Warriors, like, they're going to be pretty much unguardable because we already know Wiggins can turn anybody into a poster. We know he can finish. He has a floater. Right, he even has the mid-range. If he was hitting consistently from three, between the three of them on the outside, whoever is down there, whether it's Draymond, whether it's Wiseman, whether it's Looney, whether Kuminga's in there, the sky is the limit for the Warriors. Their depth, they're not going anywhere. The dynasty is back.
Hey, you took the words out of my mouth when you compared the Boston Celtics to the young OKC Warriors who, when they got to the finals, they lost, and you never seen them again. You never seen them get there again. You know, that was the last time their big three played together when they lost to Miami. James Harden wound up going to Houston. KD and Westbrook still held it down, but they couldn't get past the Warriors. Like, you know, they just couldn't get it done, and they were still young and in their prime. I can see that happening to Boston. This was an opportunity for Boston to really do something. And I still believe if Chris Middleton didn't get hurt, Milwaukee wins that series. And ifs don't really do anything, but the East is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I do think they're going to be the top two team in the East. They're going to be really competitive. It's going to be hard to beat them. But I think what Golden State has just done is they're experienced and they're not yet too old. Yeah, Steph's about to be 35, but the way he plays the game doesn't matter. That wrist still flicks, you know? He's still got that ball handle and he can get that shot off. He might just be better anytime he plays. He's better. He doesn't have to be like a super athlete. He just needs to be able to get his shot off. And if he can get it off, it's dangerous. Klay came back. And, you know, Klay didn't really have the luxury of a full offseason. He didn't get into game shape right away. I mean, he was working hard to get on the court, but, you know, he really only was working with a half a season. Next year, he's going to have a whole season. He's going to be in a rhythm by the time the playoffs start. Draymond, I think, is declining, but that's okay because the young players are now rising. You know, the way that they talk about Jonathan Wiseman, they say he could be a potential MVP. And when I say they, I'm talking about the players on Golden State. They give him high praise. They say he can be an MVP candidate one day. They say Jonathan Kuminga could be like what Andre Iguodala was, but he's developing his jump shot. You know, that is high praises for these young guys who are going to be there next year. What are the Warriors going to do with Jordan Poole and Wiggins? There's a lot of money to pay out, but their owner isn't too shy to spend that money. So the Warriors are set up. If I had to bet if both of them would be back in the finals, I wouldn't. I think Memphis is young and hungry, but I still think Golden State, what they did this year, and getting Wiseman back, they're going to have to be a favorite to get back to the final. So I agree. I would pick the Golden State Warriors out of these two to get back to the finals first. You know, it's still legacy. And a lot of teams in the West, the Suns are about to probably get rid of DeAndre Ayton, and who knows who they're going to replace him with. I have a desire in the draft. But, you know, the Lakers, they need prayer. That's what they need. They need prayer. They need a lot. So you can't just say they're going to get back.
I think the Mavs
are one piece away. They just got Christian Wood, but there's still one more piece away from being the team to beat in the West. The Grizzlies, the Mavs, and the Warriors. I still take the Warriors right now. But
Clippers too. I don't know if Kawhi can play, you know, if he's ever gonna play, or just gonna make more commercials. But
right, you can't.
A healthy Clippers is also a healthy Clippers
support. Absolutely. They might mess around and end up with Kyrie. And I don't know, that might take some power away from them. I mean, Kyrie is great on the court, but you know, I don't want to bash Kyrie because he's actually one of my favorite players. He really is. I love watching him play. But I will say this. One mistake that everybody always makes is they did it with the Bucks last year. When the Bucks won a championship, it was Giannis won a championship. This team could go on a run. They're young. They can win two or three more in a row. And then what happened? They didn't make it this year, right? So, like, that always happens. I don't want to anoint Golden State for another one really fast, but it is likely that they can do it. Now, how about we talk about some kids that are coming into the league for the first time? Let's talk about this 2022 NBA draft class set to take place. And this is actually a very underrated draft class. A lot of people, the names don't really seem to be too flashy. But if you look closely, the game is there. There's going to be some players in this draft class that when you look back on it, you're going to be like, wow, these players were good. This player should have went higher. What was this team thinking? There's talent in this class. And, yeah, you know, are they going to come into the league and be like LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo? No, they're not going to do that. But when you look back on it, this draft class has some ballers. So if you ask me who is going to be the first pick of the NBA draft for the Orlando Magic, considering that they do not trade their pick, which – I honestly think would be the smartest thing to do. They need to get like a star vet player. So if they can do that and by trading the first pick, they should go for it. But you got to draft Jabari Smith out of Auburn. 6'10", 210, you know, basically built like Kevin Durant. Not as skilled as Kevin Durant, but he can shoot. He can shoot the ball. He's a perimeter scorer. And one thing that the Orlando Magic don't have right now is an elite perimeter scorer. They've got all these bigs. They've got Mo Bamba, you know, they've got Wendell Carter. You know, I think it would be a mistake to bring in like a Chet Holmgren, who's like another 7 foot 190 guy who, yeah, he can shoot a little and he can block shots, but like you keep bringing this same player in, you know, Isaac, like you keep bringing this same guy in. At least Jabari Smith can shoot the rock, and he's a big, he can play small forward, in a small lineup. He can play the four, but he can space the floor. And then that's really going to help out Cole Anthony. And I don't know what they're going to do with Markel Fultz, but they got Jalen Suggs. I think you pair them two together, I think you got something. So I think the Orlando Magic, if they were thinking straight, they would take Jabari Smith.
I'm going to have to, you know, hope they trade their pick because, you know, it's actually so funny that you say, you know, they keep drafting the same guys. I don't think Chet is the same guy. Is he a long 7-footer with excellent shot blocking ability like everybody else that you just named? All right. Yeah, I guess. But offensively, I mean, he's nothing like these guys. I think he can create, you know, his shot. He can shoot, okay, with range. You know, Jabari, I just don't know if the ceiling is as high. Chet, you know, what do they talk about with Chet? His body, you know, is he going to be able to take it? You know, we want to talk about Kevin Durant. I mean, that's something that they were saying about Kevin Durant. I'm not saying that Chet is the next KD. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that he is a seven-footer with handle with a shot. All right, and he can shoot the ball well. Scoring and defense, to get that both in the same player is just a steal. And I do think Jabari Smith has two-way potential, but I feel like the sure thing is Chet Holmgren. And, you know, down in Orlando, you know, just feed him some cheeseburgers. Like, it's all good. You know, he can fill out the frame. But I think, you know, looking at this top three, both the picks and the players, I feel like Chet can fit anywhere. You know, whereas I can't say that about everybody, and I definitely can't say that about, you know, Paolo Banchero. I think he's going to have a tough time in the NBA, man. I really do. You know, he's not a great, you know, athlete. I feel like he's like a tweener, right? He's 6'10", right? You know, so he has like the body of a 4, but the mindset of a 3, but not really the complete skill set of like either one. You know, he's just an in-betweener. I think he's going to struggle. If people are drafting him, expecting him to be the guy for their franchise, I mean, that sounds like a Knicks-level mistake.
Man, I can agree with you with what you say about Chet, because Chet does have a lot of upside. Me personally, if you're 7'195" and you're a young kid, I just feel like you're going to get beat up when you get in the league, man. You're going to get beat up. I just feel like you're going to get beat up, man. that's just what I feel. You ain't going to be able to get your shot off. They're going to be talking. I just feel like he's in for a rude awakening. I still think once he gets his body developed a little bit, because it's different than KD. KD was a lot more athletic than Chet. Like, Chet isn't non-athletic, so I'm not saying that. But KD, you can tell, even though he was a big stick running around, like, the boy could just flat-out score, man. He was just different. He was different at the University of Texas. I didn't see that different with Chet. And he's an elite shot blocker. And he's a stick, man, and he's a good defender. So he's literally, whoever he's guarding, going to have a stick up their ass all game. But Paolo, man, Banchero, the disrespect. You just disrespected this man. This dude has game. You know who he reminds me of? You can call me crazy if you want. He reminds me of Chris Webber. That's right. C-Web. He reminds me of C-Web. C-Web wasn't like, you know, Sean Kemp type of athletic, but he was athletic enough, just like Banchero. He could pass the ball. This dude has a high IQ. He's got game, man. He can play inside. He can shoot a little bit. You know, he's got all-around game. Do I think he's ready to be a star immediately? Maybe not, but he can go to either one of – now, if he goes to the – in my opinion, he's not a fit for the Orlando Magic because, like I said, they got all the same guy. You got these big guys who aren't quite 7 foot. Then your 7-footer doesn't really play inside. Like Mo Bamba wants to shoot, you know. The Magic are a mess, in my opinion. I feel like they need to find somebody that can play with Jalen Suggs and Cole Anthony. And that is either Jabari or Chet. It's not Paolo. But Paolo is definitely the best pick he should be the number two pick. In my opinion, he should be
over Chet. You are disrespecting Chet. You're saying Chet is, oh my god, Chet should literally be number one. I know it's a weird fit in Orlando, but you're telling me that Chet is lower than number two. You are wilding.
I don't think I'm wilding, man. I don't think I'm wilding. I think people are. I think they're a little afraid. I think people want to go with the safer pick, like, you know. And I think Palo is that guy. You know. So I we'll see. We
a
will
top
see.
Top three pick. Look at Ja Morant, you know, a franchise-altering pick. Anthony Edwards. These are, franchise cornerstones that now you can feel good. LaMelo, right, was number three. Franchise cornerstones that now, right, every Hornets fan is just thinking about the next 10 years with LaMelo, right? Every T-Wolves fan, the next 10 years with Anthony Edwards, right? Cornerstone guys. We don't need, you know, little Draymond Greens out here running around being undersized, not knowing what position, you know, they do this well, they do that well, they don't do anything great. That's not what people need in the top three. Chet Holmgren could be someone that ends up literally changing the game on both ends of the court for a team. He could literally change the way that basketball is played. Now, I'm not, like I said, we don't know. But his ceiling is high. This is when you have a high pick, you're looking for somebody who can give you that spark that can change your franchise. I mean, the Magic, they've been here, all right, a lot. All right, the Rockets, they've been here every year, all right? Like these teams need to get out of the lottery, man. Get out of the lottery. Take a Chet Holmgren, all right? Use that extremely long wingspan and let him just pull you out of the depths, okay? Because I don't think Banchero is going to do it. I mean, I feel like Banchero, this would have been great if, you know, the Warriors, when the Warriors are the number two, they probably would look at Banchero and be like, oh, yeah, okay, reload. For any of these teams, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it.
I think it's a lock he's going to Houston. I think he will be the third pick. I think that's part of why they were so willing to give away Christian Wood. And I think he's going to be an impact player to go along with the young guards of Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. So I think he's going to be the third pick, you know. But I think OKC is going to look back and be like, man, we should have took him. They're probably going to wind up taking, you know, Chet. You know what? I'll tell you what. This is my guess. If Chet goes first, Banchero goes second. Yeah, over Jabari.
Yeah.
over Jabari. I think he's a little bit underrated, but 6'10", 250, he's not small. Big men are coming back, but there's not a lot of big men that are 7 foot and above. And he can play inside, he can play outside. It's going to be good. But let's talk about some other players in this draft class. Do you have a surprise player or a sleeper player?
A surprise
or a player that you want your Knicks to draft?
Well, I mean, those are a lot of questions all at once. I'll tell you this: the Knicks are a horrible team. I hate them. 11th pick overall. I mean, they've been so bad in the draft, literally so bad, and even, you know, Obi. I don't want to disrespect OB because he's a nice guy. You know, he's a lifelong fan. But, you know, we could have had Halliburton. We could have had so many, you know, like.
I can't believe he passed on Halliburton.
It's like, it's embarrassing. It's literally embarrassing. And, you know, quickly, you know, kind of had people, you know, hushing about the whole we could have had Halliburton. But, like, no. I mean, we could have had. I mean, quickly is cool. He's good. But he's not Tyrese Halliburton, you know. And we. We just missed out. We've had horrible drafts. And now, because of that 1 year of overachievement, we're really messed up, right? Paying Julius Randle, all that. But I'm not here to talk about the Knicks skeleton. We're talking about the draft. So two people on my mind. My boy, if you watch the March Madness episode, you already know I am high on Johnny Davis. I think this is a guy who, like I said about Jaylen Brown, gets better every year, okay? This past year, he kind of struggled with the deep ball, but from mid-range, boy, was electric. I feel like that's a very quick fix. I mean, shooter shoot, especially in this day and age, it's very rare to find somebody who, you know, struggles that much from three, who is that consistent, especially a guard. from the mid-range. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think he's actually NBA ready. He can create his own shot. So for the Knicks, shot creation, it's so important. We got nobody, and there's no point guards really that are helping us create shots, right? You know, quickly, he's not developed yet. And Derrick Rose, I mean, he's never really been somebody who's going to get, you know, 8-9 assists. You know, he's going to get, you know, he's going to, you know, find people, but he's really trying to get his. He's a volume scorer. So to have somebody on the wing who can create his own shot until RJ develops some sort of consistency, I think Johnny Davis would be a great pick. He probably won't fall to 11 because, you know, there are 10 other teams that are probably thinking the exact same thing that I am. So AJ Griffin, I'll take him. And that kind of contradicts what I just said, because dude pretty much dribbles like 4 times a game. But, you know, to have a 3-and-D player, I mean, that's something that you can never have too many of. And right now the Knicks have none of them, right? We don't even have one, right? We had Bullock. Bullock is gone. Alec Burks is not that dude. RJ can't consistently shoot. Evan Fournier, just like his full name, there's no D, there's nothing, right? He can't play defense. So to add AJ Griffin, who, you know, has great length, 6'6", nice wingspan, and can shoot. He was 45% from three last year. I mean, you know, sign me up. We can teach him how to dribble, or we can just run him like Klay Thompson, you know. So I would say either of those guys. The Knicks need scorers, man. They need scorers. And there are actually some great scoring options in this draft. You know, no one's a complete package. So to your point, this draft, you know, is you know, perceived as weak. But with the right coaching, I do think there are a lot of people that have a lot of raw materials that can be turned into nice prospects.
That's it. And the NBA has been really good at player development, like way better than in the past. Players are just emerging. They're coming out of nowhere. And I'll tell you a player that I really have that I like. And this isn't a player that I like for the Suns, but it's a player that I like in the draft. Jaden Hardy from Team Ignite of the G League. This boy is 6'4", 190. Reminds me of Bradley Beal. This boy gets buckets. Like, he is a bucket. He's a bucket. He's going to be the player that is combo guard, comes off the bench, buckets. Like Lou Williams, get buckets. Like this dude is going to get buckets. Jaden Hardy equals buckets. If you look at Anthony Simons and how he just played this year and in Dame's absence, buckets. This guy is a lot like Anthony Simons, but he's ready to do that now. Simons developed this game a little bit. This kid already is ready to get buckets. For my Phoenix Suns, since I really do think that – I really think we're going to play this season and DeAndre Ayton is going to be another roster. And if they do trade him, they better get a first-round pick that's somewhere in that area to where they can draft the boy from Duke, the 7-foot, 240-pound center, Mark Williams. This guy is athletic. He's a rim protector. He can move, you know, he's not a defensive liability, and we need a guy like that. I'll give you another name that I'm hoping for if even just to get some depth. We're going to go to Gran Canaria. We're going to go with Khalifa Jop, you know, 7-foot, another 240, raw athlete. If Bismack Biyombo wasn't like 6'9"-ish, 6'10"-ish, but instead was 7-foot, that's our guy, Khalifa Jop. You know, he's just an athlete. You know, he's not going to be hitting any type of jumpers. So there's not going to be a lot of floor spacing with him out there. But you can, like, the Suns have a lot of shooters. You can put a lot of shooters out there with him. And you can use him like Clint Capella gets used, right? So that's like a cross-seas prospect that I'm looking at. But my favorite player in this draft may not get drafted in the first round. I watched this kid at Wake Forest make plays. He's a playmaker, not necessarily a facilitator. He's a playmaker. Alondis Williams. Mm-hmm. He's got smooth game. He can handle the ball. He's a two-way guard. He goes a combo guard, not a two-way player. He's a combo guard. He can play the one. He's 6'5", 210, or he can play the two. He can hit shots off the dribble, you know, and when the defense collapses on him, he's got dimes, man. This kid can play. I am really surprised that he is not higher on the draft boards. But, Woody, just like you said, ESPN, their ranking of the percentage that the Boston Celtics had to win the series, you can throw that in trash. You can throw all these draft boards in the trash because on draft day, it always goes a different way once you get past, like, the first four or five picks. So if there's a name, ladies and gentlemen, that I think you guys should all pay attention to, especially what team they go to, because if the right coach gets this player, this guy is going to be a star. Alondis Williams, baller. You heard it here.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Will Gaddy has eyes worldwide. I mean, he gave you a prospect in multiple countries. I mean, every league. Oh, I mean, this man is a basketball star.
We do.
Yes.
When we say we courtside, baby. We courtside. How about we leave the court right now, and how about we go over to the sidelines? Because on the sidelines, there's still some free agent juice left. We're getting to the point where teams are really about to ramp up their offseason workouts. Preseason is literally just about 6 weeks away. 6 weeks away from the Canton game, you know, the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? We're 6 weeks away. Football is here, ladies and gentlemen. Woo-hoo! The NFL is back.
Yes. And,
man, this is the greatest time of the sports year. There's no sport like the NFL. You know, there's no sport like the NFL. But let's talk about some impact free agents that could actually go to a team and make a difference. Woody, who's left out there that you think would be a good fit for a team to kind of help them get over the top?
You know, it's kind of crazy, you know, looking at some of the names. There's definitely some star power on here. If we're going strictly star power in this offseason that has been the greatest offseason in NFL history, oh, my God, there's just been so many crazy moves. You know, Odell and Julio, you know, are both, you know, they're both teamless right now. And Odell, you know, he's still rehabbing an injury that occurred. He got a touchdown and tore his ACL, highs and lows in the Super Bowl. Still got that ring, though. But Julio Jones, I mean, you know, we had somebody come on here and say that, you know, Julio Jones would transform the Pats into a Super Bowl team, right? He was one of the best receivers in the NFL for many, many years. Last year was not one of those years. What does he have in the tank? You know, I wouldn't say he was trash. Like, he definitely was not trash. There were actually games where he was doing work. And his quarterback was also Ryan Tannehill. Is that the worst quarterback of his career? I don't know. So, if I'm Julio, there are a couple of teams that I'm looking at. I would say, you know, there's a quarterback out there that always loves new weapons, and that man is Tom Brady. You know, he'll take them all, right? He literally transformed Antonio Brown, who was, you know, getting into fights with GMs and getting kicked out the league, was in jail, and literally had Antonio sleep in his house to try to help him, you know, become better, and got him a ring, right? Got him a ring because of it, you know. So Tom, we all know he's a tremendous teammate. So you know, if Julio is really trying to get a ring and compete for a deep playoff run, the NFC is pretty weak right now. So he could certainly go there. I don't know. Does he really like you know, Matt Ryan? You know, it seemed like there was some friction there, but Indy is pretty starred for some, you know, wide receiver talent as well. So, I mean, if he did want to have that sort of reunion, he could definitely go out there and compete with Michael Pittman Jr., form a nice duo out there. And last but not least, for Julio, the Dallas Cowboys might, you know, really benefit from somebody of Julio's skill set, especially after losing Amari. I mean, you know, it's health, unfortunately, right? And, you know, Gallup also has the health issue. So you would want to hope that their injuries are staggered, you know, so that you have one, you know, with CD. Because when Julio has been healthy on the field, even in Tennessee, the man gets open. So I think what we need right now, if I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, is to make sure that Dak has options. Okay, and Amari is a huge loss. So to, you know, kind of on the somewhat cheap, you know, reload with Julio to kind of have that insurance policy, you know, with Gallup and everything. I think those three spots, obviously, if I'm Julio, I'm going to Tampa Bay. But those other teams should definitely be looking because they can use the services.
No, I'm with you on that. Actually, I am on the Julio train 100% as a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't think Julio, if we didn't sign him, I wouldn't be hurt. But with Michael Gallup being injured for an indefinite amount of time, and we know CeeDee Lamb is the number one receiver right now, and we drafted Jalen Tolbert, who I'm really excited about, and I actually like Washington. But these guys don't bring what Julio bring, even though Julio's 33. We've seen Jerry Rice and Tim Brown play until they were like 70 years old. They were playing effective, you know, out there in Oakland. And Julio can still play. You know, Julio may not be the Julio of old. He's not going to get you 1,900 yards and 5 touchdowns and be on the IR list with a toe injury every week for you fantasy football players, but he still goes out there and play. But Julio is still effective. You got to account for him. And Woody, that was a perfect match for Julio. So I couldn't say, you know, I'll take it to the defensive side of the ball. Let's talk about some defensive free agents. You want to talk about who really helped out Tom Brady? Ndamukong Suh. You put Ndamukong Suh next to our boy Vita Vea, and that was that interior. You could not run on the Bucs. You couldn't run on them. You couldn't. It was impossible. And that was their greatest strength. They forced you to play the pass, and they can rush the passer. They have speedy linebackers that could drop back. Like, we love to talk offense, but that defense really helped. And Ndamukong Suh's 35 years old. He was hands down the best player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive team against the Rams. He was playing hard. Ever since Suh stopped smashing people with helmets and spitting in people's face and stepping on people with his cleats, he's just been a beast on the defensive line. And he's always been a beast on the defensive line, but now he's like a tamed beast. And even at 35 years old, he can make a huge difference for a team. I honestly don't know why the Bucs aren't – maybe they're trying to let his market value reset, but – they need to bring him back, man. You can't let that defense go, you know. And I'm not going to be Cowboys biased, but obviously, everybody, you know, we got a lot of turnovers, but that run defense is still a little sus. So if Sue goes anywhere, I hope it's not in the NFC East because he can make a big difference. But I will tell you, a team that should consider bringing him in, we're going to talk about. Why not the Buffalo Bills? Star Letulier is no longer on their interior line. Why not? You got Von Miller out there. Look, if you're going to try to go make it to the championship, you need to bring in Ndamukong Suh, you know, with that defense. You got young players all over that defense. To me, it would just make too much sense not to bring in Ndamukong Suh.
The reason why I giggled when you said that was literally, I have Sue's name, right, with three teams that I think would be a good fit, and number one is Buffalo. You know, I do think that is the perfect fit, you know, and at 35, you know, it's ring time, you know, again, right? You know, he already been there, done that, but it's ring time. To be able to, you know, work with the young cats, right, work with Vaughn, I think that is a perfect fit. I'm going to stick on this side of the ball. As a matter of fact, same exact position with Sheldon Richardson, who is younger than Suh. You know, still a very quality player. He hasn't had a bad season. And I think what's really remarkable since being in the league since 2013, he's only had 1 year where he missed more than one game. 1 year. And he hasn't missed any games since, you know, 2017. So, I mean, the man is durable. He's productive. You know, so I'm not entirely sure why he doesn't have a suitor right now. I mean, his last year with the Vikings was definitely his most down year. Maybe people are just expecting him to, you know, kind of continue that decline. But I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of things going on in Minnesota. So I wouldn't necessarily blame it on Sheldon. As a matter of fact, I would love a reunion with the team that drafted him. All right, not to be a homer out here, but the New York Jets could definitely use – they were the worst run defense in the entire NFL last year. You know, we have Quinnen, but to get Sheldon back there, I mean, that would be a dream. But, you know, I feel like a lot of times when teams play pretty well – I mean, when teams play pretty well, when a player plays pretty well for a team and they don't pick them up, they usually go to a rival. Division rival, right? They want to play that team twice and make them pay for it. So I could actually see him go to Detroit, all right, and play for, you know, Dan Campbell, that rising defense, and make some, you know, good plays on Dalvin Cook, which is definitely easier said than done. But I think Sheldon can do it. So, you know, I think that's worth taking a look at for sure. You know, I think between him and Sue – like, those are two quality defensive tackles. I mean, Ogunjobi just got signed. I feel like, you know, they're from a production standpoint, I know they're older, right, than Ogunjobi. But I think from a production standpoint, you know, they still got plenty in the tank left.
Hey, man, I'm with you on that 100%. Sheldon, I just think he has a bad rap, and that's why he's a free agent. I don't know. Like, I mean, look, see, I think Seattle traded a second round pick for him only to just be like, nah, we don't want you no more. So I guess we gave away that second round pick. Seattle makes some dumb trades.
They do.
That's why they're falling apart. They're like, oh, man, we're not. That's a subject for another topic on another day. You know, one more player. I'll just throw out a name. Landon Collins. Strong safety, not a bad player at all. He can help you. A team that I really think he can help. I think he can help the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, I think they'll wind up signing him, to be honest with you, a little bit before the season begins. They lost our boy, Tyrann Mathieu, and they still have a good free safety option.
Did they sign Justin Reed, or did I make that up? I feel like they signed.
That's actually a question.
No, he's there. They signed him. I think they signed him, like, so they had the opportunity to re-sign Mathieu, and they just were like, nah. They re-signed Justin Reed, which was kind of crazy to me because Honey Badger, in my opinion, had been doing work, you know, like, and he was one of the locker room leaders for that defense.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They do have Justin Reed, but the player that I was talking about was Juan Thornhill. Thornhill is a ball hawk, and he's going to wind up being in that safety tandem. But I think they still need that physical box safety presence, and Landon Collins is that. Landon Collins can play, even though he's deemed a box safety, he doesn't just get beat over the top like relentlessly. He's good enough. I think that would be a team that he helps. And listen, the Chiefs, you are now in a division that's going to be airing it out. You got Justin Herbert getting better. You know, David Carr got some new toys. You know, Derek Carr, I'm sorry, got some new toys out there in Las Vegas. Then you got Russell Wilson in Denver now, and they've got an elite trio of receivers. So I think another safety for them makes sense.
For sure.
Now, Woody, I know you got something on your chest. And I got something on my chest. So, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, it's time to hear us out. Hear us out.
All right. Well, I'm gonna take the floor here and hear me out. This might actually be really basic because I feel like I've talked about this person for the last couple of weeks in a row, but I'm just gonna say directly, hey, congratulations on ring number 4, Klay Thompson. I mean, hey, you are a champion again. The problem is there are people out there that think you're washed, right? You know, that your finals performance wasn't the greatest. We did see game 6 Klay against the Grizz, right? 30 points, right? You killed it. And your defense, right, on Luka, on Tatum, on Brown, was actually instrumental to the wins in that series. You are still lockdown defender, okay, right? You're 31, right? You're still in the prime, right? Feeling good, feeling nice. But in order for you to take your rightful place among the universally accepted greatest shooters of all time, which I've been on record on this show, I think you are number 2 of all time. Of anybody who has played this game, you are 2 on my list. In terms of catch and shoot, you are number 1. My life on the line. I need to pass it to somebody to make it. It is Klay Thompson that I'm passing the ball to. So all I'm asking you to do is to sober up. All right, stop knocking these fans down, tripping and stumbling, knocking these fans down. Okay, it's all good, enjoy yourself, but get back in that gym, man. All right, get that quickness, just get back into the groove, because next season, all those people that are saying that you're washed, all those people that, are questioning game 6 Klay and all that, it's time to shut them up. Come back better than ever, all right? You are much wiser now than you've ever been. So come back, hit him with it, splash brother, okay? And show us if you can win number 5. Show us that you can win number 5.
All right. Hear him out. Well, I'll tell you what. I got something to say to the Mr. Unibrow himself, Anthony Davis. Bro, listen, man. You got selected for the NBA top 75, the top 75 players of all time. Your name is on that list. Me personally, I don't think you should be on that list. What have you done? You made a couple All-Star games, right? Yeah, you're an NBA champion, but what else have you done? You barely play, man. You played 40 games this year. 40. You play half the year. You've been missing in LA. LA brought you in. They traded a bunch of assets to bring you in. This is where you're supposed to be an MVP candidate. You're supposed to be one of the best players in the current league. How are you a top 75 player, but you're not currently playing like one of the best players in the league? This is your offseason to get it together. You haven't shot a basketball since April 5th when you were officially eliminated. Now, look, I know you have a routine where you don't start working out and you don't start playing basketball until 12 weeks prior to the season, but you never make it through a season. Why keep doing the same thing if it doesn't work? It don't work, bro. It don't work. I remember you did cut your unibrow. You cut it. You had 2 eyebrows. But then you start to play like trash. You let that joint grow back, right? You did something different when it wasn't working. So why don't you do your offseason like that, man? Because LA needs you. This is your offseason. It's time to step up. If you come out next year, you only play 50-something games, I'm getting a petition started to get you removed from the top 75 list. You could be number 1 on a top 75 sellout list, but not a top 75 NBA all-time great players list. When I do that little thing where it pops up on my head, I be praying, like, please don't let me get Anthony Davis, because I'm only going to have 4 players. Because one of them is always in street clothes. Anthony Davis, hear me out, man. It's time to transform this offseason. And this season, you should be an NBA MVP candidate when it's all said and done. Hear me out.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, if he is street clothes for the majority of the season, all right, I have my pen right here. James Woody, all right, will sign that petition to be removed, like Will Getty said, from the top 35 of all time. Very, very appropriate. Hear me out.
Hey, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear you out. You know, we want you to come on the show, call it how you see it, call it how you saw it. Call out those who didn't see it, how you saw it. Let us know what you're thinking about what's trending in the sports world today. But until we see you, we out.